The letter to the Philippians has been called the epistle of joy. And I like that because if there's anything that this world could use more of, it is joy. Did you ever sing that song when you were a child? Oh, I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart, down in my heart. Oh, I've got joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart today. There you go. You do know that. Well, some of you are looking more to this. What happened to this congregation? In the four chapters of the book of Philippians, Paul mentions joy or rejoicing 16 times. And one of the remarkable things about that is that he was writing this letter while he was in prison. We don't know what prison he was in. It could have been in Rome. It could have been in Ephesus. It could have been in Caesarea. All we know is that he says, I am in chains. If you have ever toured that part of the world, and if you have seen the ancient dungeons, then you can imagine the horror that it would be to be in those awful places and be captive. Have you ever wondered what it would be like to be locked up in prison? I don't know, some of you maybe have experienced that, I don't know, but I can hardly imagine how I would respond, how I would react if I were put into prison. In fact, I've had nightmares about that. I've had nightmares that I accidentally killed someone in an automobile accident and I was sent to prison. And in the nightmares, I was disoriented, I was afraid, I was humiliated, I felt desperate. I mean, here I am, a decent human being, most of the time, addicted to my creature comforts, known for my personality of wanting to be in control, no comments, but thrust into a situation where all of that is stripped away, and I'm helpless. I believe I would be overwhelmed, and then I have to ask myself, would I write you a letter filled with joy and rejoicing? It had to be the Holy Spirit in Paul. It had to be. Paul had a wonderful capacity to encourage other people even when he was under attack. Consider this very statement. It comes from Philippians 1st chapter verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you. I thank my God every time I remember you. That's encouraging. That's like friend speaking to friend. That's what some of you ladies are doing in your secret pal program. You're encouraging one another. We all need encouragement. We all need friends. We all need somebody to say, I thank God every time I remember you. What a gift, what a blessing. Well, in this letter to the Philippians, to the church at Philippi, it doesn't take long for this encouraging Paul to move into his theme of joy because the very next words are these. In all my prayers for you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Brothers and sisters, I can say with confidence that I pray for all of you. And not only that, I can say that there are many prayer warriors in here who pray for this congregation all the time and who pray for individuals in this congregation by name. If you are not doing that, I encourage you to start doing that. I can also say with confidence that I pray for this congregation with joy most of the time. I have to confess that unlike Paul, I can't say that in all my prayers, I'm always filled with joy. Sometimes I pray in utter frustration. And sometimes I pray with impatience. How's that for a true confession? That's because I am not perfect. And you know what? Neither are you. And so sometimes you probably pray for me with mixed emotions as well, right? We're in this thing together, folks. But I am totally convinced of our partnership from the first day. And by that I mean the first Sunday of April 2011, when this congregation had its first worship service together. And I am totally convinced that God began a good work in you, and that He will carry it on to completion. Amen? Now, how He's going to do that, only He knows. Now, not only did Paul talk about joy in prayer, but he had lots of other examples of joy and rejoicing in this epistle. And here are some of them. And as I go through this little list, I want us to think about ourselves. Let's compare ourselves and let the Holy Spirit examine us. I also want to say that I think we are doing great with these things most of the time. Philippians 1:18, rejoicing that Jesus Christ is preached. Jesus Christ is preached here. 1:25, joy in faith and in Christ. That's who you are. Chapter 2, verse 2, joy in Christian unity. God has given us a gift of unity most of the time. Chapter 2, verse 17, joy in suffering for Christ. That is a challenge. 2:28, joy of news of a loved one who was ill but who is now strong again. Kay Brown, there's an example. 2:29, joy for Christian hospitality. There's a lot of Christian hospitality in this congregation. 3:1, joy in the Lord Himself. 4:10, joy in receiving a gift that shows that somebody cares. We are doing great in this most of the time. Now, I love what somebody wrote about having a joyful life. And I'm going to share it with you. It doesn't totally apply, but I just couldn't resist sharing this with you. The title is, What Can We Learn from a Dog? You dog lovers are going to like this a lot. First, never pass up an opportunity to go for a joyride. Allow the experience of fresh air and wind in your face to be pure ecstasy. Next, when loved ones come home, run to greet them. Next, when it's in your best interest, practice obedience. Let others know when they have invaded your territory. Take naps and stretch before rising. Romp, run, and play daily. Some of us can't do that anymore, but all of us can play. Next, be loyal. Never pretend to be something you are not. Next, if what you need lies buried, dig until you find it. I can see all of these. Can you see it? Next, when someone is having a bad day, be silent, sit close by, and nuzzle them gently. Next, thrive on attention and allow people to touch you. Next, avoid biting when a simple growl will do. On hot days, drink lots of water and lie under a shady tree. That sounds like the 23rd Psalm to me. Next, when you're happy, dance around and wag your entire body. And finally, no matter how often you are scolded, don't buy into the guilt thing and pout, but run right back and make friends. Coming to fellowship, maybe we need to be more like dogs most of the time. I'm sure you know this, there is joy. And then there is Christian joy. The most frequently used Greek word for the word joy in the New Testament is the word chara, and that is derived from the Greek word charis. The Greek word charis is the word for grace. Chara is produced by charis. Joy is produced by God's grace. Joy is not simply dancing around and wagging your whole body. That is happiness. And sometimes, unfortunately, that is also cluelessness. No, joy is deeper than happiness. Joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Joy is a gift. God, it is not natural. It is supernatural. Sometimes joy flourishes best in our lives when we are going through the hardest of times. For example, Paul in another letter, 1 Thessalonians 1:6, said this, "In spite of severe suffering, you welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit." That's far deeper than happiness. Brothers and sisters, God's charis, God's grace dwells in you because God's Holy Spirit dwells in you. There is real joy within you. So let it out. Let it be seen. Let it be heard. Don't keep it in a prison. Don't put some kind of chains on your joy. Smile. Thank you. I should have a camera right now. I should have a camera and put a picture in the newsletter of the faces that I was just looking at when I'm talking about joy. Okay. There's a story about a king. And he went to his royal gardener and he said, "I want you to plant 6 trees representing prosperity, beauty, victory, strength, duty, and joy." He said he wanted those trees to show to the world that he tried to be a faithful and just king in his reign. So the gardener planted 6 trees. He planted 6 palm trees. And then the king came back to inspect the work, and he looked at the first 5 trees, and he could see in them prosperity and beauty and victory and strength and duty. But then he came to the last tree, a palm tree, that was supposed to represent joy. And he said, I thought surely that you would have planted a flowering tree to represent joy. How can a palm tree symbolize joy? And here is what the gardener said to him. "Those flowering trees get their nourishment from an open source. They live in pleasant forests, in orchards, with a host of other trees just like them. But I found this palm tree in the desert. Its roots had found some hidden spring creeping beneath the ground, far beneath the burning surface. And then I realized that the highest joy has a foundation that is unseen by men and a source that they cannot fully understand. The palm tree does not need the company of other trees to flourish and to bring forth its fruit. You are like a palm tree. You are rooted in Jesus Christ. He is your source. Dig deep." In the Bible, the words for happy and happiness occur 10 times. The word for joy and rejoice occurs 300 times. It's 10 times more important than happiness. Yes, we enjoy happiness. Do you like happiness? Yes, I like it too. We look for it in many places, don't we? We work for it, finding it and using it and prolonging it. But joy is 10 times more important. Christian joy is 10 times more important than our happiness. And it dwells within you. It's buried in there. Happiness is fleeting. It depends on things outside of you. Joy is everlasting. It depends on who is inside of you. Hallelujah. Now, back to Paul's letter to the Philippians. Let's take a joy ride through Philippians. Here are just some of the wonderful examples. Philippians 1:18. The important thing is that in every way Christ is preached, and because of this I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. Brothers and sisters, may Christ always be preached in this congregation. May everyone who comes here know Jesus Christ is preached here. But may everyone who sees your life know that Jesus Christ is preached through the way you live and the way you interact with other people, because he lives in you. Philippians 1:25, I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith. Covenant Fellowship, I'm going to tell you something you already know. There are a bunch of old people in here. Some of you have probably come to the point where you think, well, there's nothing new I can learn. I've heard every sermon and every teaching. God can't teach me anything new. Get over it. You can and you should always continue. Continue, as Paul said, to grow in your faith and in your joy. Philippians 2:2, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Church, listen to this. Unity in the spirit cannot be counterfeited. It either is or it is not. We are in this thing called life together, you and I. Let's complete one another's joy by being like-minded, by being of the same spirit, the same love, being one in the spirit and one in his purpose. Philippians 2:17, but even if I am being poured out like a drink offering on the sacrifice and service coming from your faith, I am glad and rejoice with all of you. So you too should be glad and rejoice with me. None of us wants to suffer. Amen. But all of us have suffered. All of us will suffer. And even when you are poured out and dumped out and used up, let us be glad together and rejoice together, because joy is deeper than happiness. Philippians 2:29, here's the background of this verse. Paul's friend, his fellow worker, Epaphroditus, had been sick, and he almost died. But now God has had mercy on him, and he is better, and Paul is sending him back to Philippi. And Paul said, welcome him in the Lord with great joy. Brothers and sisters, we all get sick, and some of us have almost died. But when God, by his grace and his mercy and his divine healing, allows one of us to come back, greet one another with all joy. Hallelujah. By the way, there's also in this verse a sense of Christian hospitality. Are we going to be a church of the closed door or a church of the open door? You know what we should be. Philippians 4. Verse 10, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Brothers and sisters, I have said this before, we are all members of a caring committee. All of us. If you see someone in need, help them. If you are in need, tell us. Let us rejoice in helping one another. Philippians 3, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. There was a young man who moved to a small town. He didn't know anyone in this new small town. Sunday morning came and he wanted to go to church. He went downtown, he walked down on the streets, and there were churches everywhere, on every corner and around the corner. So he went up to a policeman and he said, sir, I'm new here, I don't know anyone, and I want to find a church. Can you recommend one for me? He said, yes, sir, that one right there. Just like that. He said, well, that was confident. I'm really interested in knowing why you chose that one. He said, well, young man, because when they arrive at that church and when they leave that church, they are so joyful. All the other people are grumpy. Brothers and sisters, I can say with full confidence that when I stand out there in that foyer and when I see you arrive here and when I see you leave here, you come and leave joyfully. Amen. Most of the time. Because joy is contagious. It just overflows and it's encouraging. So rejoice in the Lord always. And I will say it again. Rejoice. Want to sing? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Rejoice, rejoice. Again I say rejoice. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, I hope people will talk about us positively, and that one of the things they will say is what a friendly, joy-filled fellowship this is. And Lord, I pray for any person here who is feeling the least bit sad today, that you will remind my brother, you will remind my sister that joy comes from the Lord. It is a fruit, a gift from you. It runs deep. It is everlasting. May we call upon your joy in all things, always, to the glory of Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.